Let's take our Bibles now and turn to the book of 2 John. I want to call your attention this morning. I don't know exactly where to read to start with. I think I'll read verse 7 and then just get started. The Bible said in verse 7 of 2 John, "For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist." We'll just use that for a taking off point. And I want to preach this morning on the importance of truth in troublesome times. The importance of truth in troublesome times. Pray with me. Father, thank you this morning for the word of God. Thank you for my precious people. Thank you, Lord, for our visitors this morning that have come. And Lord, I just pray that you will continue to visit with us and through the preaching hour now. Lord, we love you and we thank you for loving us. Speak to our hearts, we pray. Give us liberty, Lord, to deliver what you've put in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. The Word of God talks about here many deceivers are entered into the world. And one of the reasons that we need to understand the importance of truth in troublesome times is because many deceivers are entered into the world. And the Bible said they confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. He said, "Look to yourselves that you lose not those things which we have wrought, but you receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds." Now, God said his deeds are evil. Let me show you another passage of Scripture in 3 John. If your Bible's like mine, you're just looking across the page. Let me look at 3 John in verse number 9. The Bible said, "I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not." Can you imagine? Now, listen, this is about 90 years after 90 years A.D., Anno Domini, that means the year of our Lord. This is about 90 years. So the church is really, really young. You understand what I mean? And already John is saying deceivers are entered into the world. And he said, "There's one among you, his name is Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, and he receiveth us not." I want you to remember, John is the one that laid his head on the bosom of the Lord Jesus. John is the one that when he spoke of himself would not even call his own name. He'd say that other disciple. He'd say that disciple whom Jesus loved. And that's a blessing to me, amen. It'd be one thing to say that disciple loves Jesus, but John said, "No, that can't be bragging on me. I don't want to brag on me. I want to brag on him, that disciple whom Jesus loved." Can you imagine not receiving him? That's what the Word of God said right here. It said, "Among them receiveth us not. Wherefore," he said, "if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words. And not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth out them out of the church." Can you imagine, beloved? The Bible said, "Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God." So there's troublesome times, and I know we're living in the last of the last days. But what I want you to see is even before 100 A.D., John said those days are already here. Those troublesome days, those days when people are not looking to and preaching and teaching and believing the doctrine of Christ. Those days when a man would lift himself up and that he would have the preeminence among them. Beloved, I thought about an election that took place lately. Say amen. You know what I'm talking about? The head honcho, so to speak. Amen. I want you to know something, beloved. Jesus Christ intended and is the head of the church. He is the one that is to have the preeminence among us. Amen. And I thank God for our Lord and our Savior. So why do we need this? They're deceivers in the world. Let me give you something about deception. I want you to just listen to this. It paints a good picture. To please his father, a freshman went out for track. He had no athletic ability, though the father had been a good miler in his day. His first race was a two-man race in which he ran against the school miler. He was badly beaten. Not wanting to disappoint his father, the boy wrote home as follows, "You will be happy to know that I ran against Bill Williams, the best miler in the school. He came in next to last, while I came in second." That's deception. Say amen. And there are many deceivers that are entered into the world. Amen. And then I thought about not only the deceivers in the world, but the Bible's telling us here there are devils in the church. I'm going to tell you, beloved, listen to me. I'll have no problem whatsoever. You let a man raise up and say, look at me, and I'll tell you that's a devil in the church. Amen. I'm telling you, I thank God for our preachers. I thank God for our teachers. I thank God for these 19 youngins that stood up here Wednesday night. Brother Michael, I know there's more than 19 youngins. There's at least 20. One of them wasn't up here. Amen. You're the one that wasn't up here, Brother Michael. Amen. Amen. We're youngins at heart, ain't we, Brother Michael? That's a blessing. Amen. But I want you to know, beloved, I thank God that we didn't have anybody standing up here looking at me. We're not teaching our kids, look at me. We're saying, look at him. He's the one, beloved, that needs to have the preeminence. He's the one that deserves all honor and glory and praise. Amen. It's not us. So somebody like that wants to raise up, go ahead. I'll just call you the devil that you are. Say amen. Because I believe with all of my heart, John was already dealing with it. And we need to know the truth in these troublesome times that we live in. Once the devil was walking along with one of his cohorts, they saw a man ahead of them pick up something shiny. "What did he find?" asked the cohort. The devil said he found a piece of the truth. "Well, doesn't it bother you that he found the piece of the truth?" He said, "No." He said, "I'll see to it that he takes it and makes a religion out of it." Let me tell you this morning, beloved, the devil's all about religion. What he doesn't want you to have is a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Word of God said in these last days perilous times would come, said people would have a form of godliness and denying the power thereof. He don't care about organization. What he cares about is the organism, the Lord Jesus, the one that gives life, amen, to the sinner, the one that, beloved, will save a man from death and hell and the grave. That's what he cares about, amen, and he'll do anything he can to hinder that. Let me give you five things quickly, amen. Five things quickly. That's almost an oxymoron, isn't it, amen? That's all right. I had a lady tell me last week, "Don't you ever worry about time, so take it up with her." Amen. Just preach. Amen. I appreciate the Word of God, don't you? Let me give you several things this morning that God has put in my heart. Number one, the importance of truth. Now, we're getting off that negative now. We've showed you the negative, and there's enough negative in the world to choke us to death. Say amen. And that's what's wrong with a lot of God's people. That's all they ever see is the negative. That's all they ever focus on is the negative. Amen. Now I'm going to tell you something. If you want the power of God, you better get a positive cable to go with that negative. Say amen. And here comes the positive cable, the truth. Amen. Number one, we need to identify the truth. Identify the truth. You say, "Pastor, where did you find that?" Well, in verse number 7 of 2 John, it said, "Many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not," watch this now, "that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh." Let me tell you, if you want to identify the truth, look at Jesus. I had a man ask me one time, he said, "If you had to tell somebody how to get to heaven and you could only have one word, what would that word be?" I said, "Jesus." Glory to God. Amen. There is no other way. Jesus is the one that said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." I thank God this morning that we can identify the truth. Look at John chapter 18 with me for just a moment. Would you turn there? John chapter number 18. Let me look at a couple of verses here. And I believe it'll be a blessing to you. We need to identify the truth. Listen to this. In John chapter number 18, I'm going to read verse 37 and verse number 38. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? I'm telling you, isn't that something? Ask a man, what is truth? And you're looking at him right in his God-given eyeballs. Amen. You're talking to him. Amen. He said, what is truth? Did you know that we're living in a world today where a lot of people don't know what truth is? They couldn't identify truth. Amen. But the Bible's talking about our Lord, our Savior. And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, I find no fault in him. Let me tell you something, beloved. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. The devil can't find any fault in him. You can't find any fault in him. I don't care how many DDs a professor's got behind his name. He'll never find any fault in him. Amen. He's the sinless Savior of the world. Amen. We need to identify the truth. The Word of God said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy Word is truth. Now you say, Pastor, now you're talking about the Bible and you're talking about Jesus. Which one is it? They're one and the same. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Hallelujah this morning. We need to identify the truth. I am the way, Jesus said, the truth and the life. Oh, you see, Pastor, I don't see why you would want to magnify that. Well, listen to this. In Christianity Today, the magazine, an estimated 74% of Americans strongly agree that there's only one true God who is holy and perfect and who created the world and rules it today. An estimated 65% either strongly agree or somewhat agree with the assertion that there is no such thing as absolute truth. I want you to know, beloved, if you identify the truth, His name's Jesus. That truth is absolute. Amen. Thank God for this old book. The devil's been trying to tear this old book down for centuries. Amen. But I'm telling you, beloved, it's still standing. And it's going to stand. It's forever settled in a place called heaven. Amen. Thank God for the truth. Amen. Then notice not only that we need to identify the truth, and I think there's a lot of people in the world that have identified the truth, but listen, they don't know the truth. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Did you know, beloved, that you can identify the truth? Let me show you what I mean. I know who the president is right now, but I do not know the president. Long before I ever had a relationship with Jesus Christ, long before I was ever born again, long before I knew that my sins were forgiven, long before that I knew my name was written in heaven, I knew who Jesus was. I could identify Him. He was the Savior. He went to the cross. He died. He rose again the third day. He's coming back one day after a while. The Bible's the Word of God. I had no problem with those truths all of my life, ever since I was old enough to know anything. But there come a day when I knew the truth. Watch what the Bible said here in 2 John chapter number, you know the chapter, verse number 1. The first, second part of the verse says, not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. Do you know the truth? Watch this. For the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. Now you say, Pastor, boy, what are you getting into here? Well, this Bible's in front of me, but thank God part of this Bible's in me. The Word of God said, Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. Amen. Jesus, as far as Jesus, the person is not in me, but here's another person that dwells in me. He's the blessed Holy Spirit of the living God. Do you understand that, beloved? That the truth, when you know the truth is on the inside of you. Amen. That's why, beloved, we rejoice in the fact that we know the truth. Watch what the Bible said here in 1 John chapter number 2 and verse number 4. I'm talking about some of the strongest language that you'll ever read in the Bible. He said, "He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar. And the truth is not in him." And you say, "Pastor, I wouldn't read that." Why not? It's part of the Bible. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, there's a lot of people say, "Well, if I believed that once in grace, always in grace, I'd just go live however I want." No, I'm telling you what's the truth. You get grace on the inside of you. Oh, thank God. You get Jesus and the Holy Spirit and the Word of God inside of you. You don't want to live the way you've always lived. You're a different person going to a different place. This world's not our home anymore. We're just a passing through. Oh, beloved friend, watch what he said here, 1 John chapter 3. Look what the Bible said. "And hereby," in verse 19, "hereby know we that we are of the truth, and we shall assure our hearts before him." Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. That's how I know that I'm of the truth. The truth is in me. The truth, the importance of it in these troublesome times. 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 6. Seems like John has this theme, doesn't he? Most of these verses are either found in John, 1 John, 2 John, or 3 John. I mean, John's the one leaned up on his bosom. He's the one, Brother Chris, that says, "I'm going to tell you what's important, the truth." Amen? The truth, that's what's important. Look at 1 John chapter number 4 and verse number 6. The Bible said, "We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby we know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." Beloved, when you get him on the inside of you, somebody can come down the road. Now listen to me. I'm not fussing, but I'm just making a point. Somebody can quote or read a verse that's not out of that King James Bible, and it sounds like a foreign language to me. Yes, sir. "Hereby we know the truth and the spirit of error." Amen. I told a man not long ago on the phone, a missionary, I said, "It's sad when you can't even get John 3:16 right." Amen. That new infected version. You know which one I'm talking about? "For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only son." Problem! Jesus is not God's one and only son. You say, "Beloved, what are you talking about, preacher?" The Bible said, "Now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we'll be like him, for we'll see him as he is." I don't just preach this book, beloved, just to be doing something. I'm convicted in my heart. It's the truth. It's the word of the living God. We don't need to change the Bible. We need to read it. And let it change us. The Bible's not broken. Amen. Let me give you this. Colossians chapter number 3. Look at this verse right here quickly. I'm going to try to move on. Colossians chapter number 3 and verse number 16. Watch this. We're talking about knowing the truth. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you." Richly. Watch this. "In all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord." You know what I believe? I believe there used to be more singing at the house and more singing on the highway, more singing on the horseback, more singing in the carriage, because there's more of this book in the heart. Amen. When you let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, beloved, amen. I'll tell you, coming out of there will be a song, amen, of worship, of praise unto our God. Listen to this. Know the truth. Even those who claim to be born again are not necessarily firm. I want you to think about this. Grounded, firmly grounded in the truths of the Bible. In his book, which provides a statistical analysis of religious beliefs in America, George Barna He cites several fascinating statistics which are based on a national survey. In chapter 4, he states, the devil or Satan is not a living being, but is a symbol of evil. Then asking that segment of his survey respondents who have identified themselves as being born again, he states, do you agree strongly, agree somewhat, disagree somewhat, or disagree strongly with that statement? The born again population reply with 32% agreeing strongly, 11% agreeing somewhat, and 5% didn't know. Thus, of the total number responding, 48% either agreed that Satan is only symbolic, or they did not know. I'm going to tell you something. If you've been born again, you know he's not symbolic. I'll know when I get through preaching this morning. You preach on the truth. You lift up Jesus. I'll know he's not symbolic. You know what I'm talking about, men of God, don't you? Amen. He's coming. That's all right. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. John said, listen. He said, there's deceivers in the world. And there's devils in the church. But there's somebody bigger than me that's going to take care of them. He's the truth. He's the truth. Should it be then surprising that a few pages later, Barna would receive something very startling, some very startling responses. His next question, Christians, Jews, Muslims, Buddhists, and others all pray to the same God, even though they use different names for that God. Again, the respondents were asked to agree strongly, somewhat, disagree somewhat, or disagree strongly. Of that population surveyed who identified themselves as born again, 30% agreed strongly, 18% agreed somewhat, and 12% did not know. That's a total of 60%. That, beloved, either agree strongly or don't know. That when you make a statement that all of them's praying to the same God. I'm going to tell you something right now, beloved. You leave Jesus out of it. Did you read 2 John with me a while ago? You leave Jesus out of it. I don't care who you're talking to. There's only one mediator between God and man. That's the man, Christ Jesus. And only the Holy Ghost can take it to the mediator. That's why the Bible said praying in the Spirit. Amen. I thank God this morning, beloved, that I know the truth. And the truth has set me free. Oh, John, what a blessing John is. Love the truth. Now, watch this. It's going to get better. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm having a good time this morning. Amen. I'm going to get me a personal air conditioner and put it up here somewhere blowing. We'll stay to 1 o'clock. Amen. Watch this now. The importance of the truth in troublesome times. We need to identify the truth. We need to know the truth. But this is really, really special. We need to love in the truth. Let me show you what I mean. Watch this now. We're going to look at 2 John verse 1. The Bible said, the elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth. You see that? Look at verse 3. Grace be with you and mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and in love. Now listen to me. You know where we're living today? People think you have to choose between truth and love, Brother Tim. Don't you tell me the truth about my sin if you love me. I'm going to tell you something right now. You can't separate the two. Truth and love go hand in hand. That's why Paul, when he writes to the church at Ephesus, says, speaking the truth in love. Amen. Listen, I heard about a fellow that was visiting door to door. You don't want to visit like this, but he knocked on the door and the person answered the door. He said, are you saved? He said, no. He said, you're going to hell if you don't get saved. That's the truth. But that's not speaking the truth in love. Are you listening to me? I'm telling you, beloved, listen, we could take a lot of lessons from Jesus. He could have said to that woman at the well, you slut. Ain't that right? He'd have been telling the truth. But he was compassionate. He loved her. Amen. And he spoke the truth to her. Amen. The woman taken in adultery, the same. Peter, when he had to deal with Peter after Peter's failure, he spoke to him. Amen. Peter, lovest thou me more than these? I'm just telling you, beloved, there's a way to love in the truth. Look at verse 5, that we love one another. The Bible said from the beginning that we love one another. Verse number 6, and this is love, that we walk after His commandments. I want you to look at 3 John verse number 1. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. This is what God put on my heart. This is what God put on my heart. I want everybody to listen to me right here. If you love this church, I want you to stand up. Except for you, Sister Suzanne. You can just nod your head. Thank you, honey. Amen. If you love this pastor, I want you to stay standing. If you don't, sit down. Amen. Now, you say, now, Pastor, what are you getting at? There's only one reason this many people are standing that love this church, and it ain't the pastor, it's the truth. You know what amazed me as I studied this message? We've got people graduating from college that are going to be doctors and going to be PAs and going to be nurses, and they've got a great education. And we've got people that don't have much education at all. But I'm telling you what, you put the truth in the middle of them, a bunch of people love the truth, everybody in this fellowship together and say, thank God for that book! Thank God for that Savior! Thank God for the truth of God's Word. It's the truth that brings us together. It's the truth. It's amazing to me what we saw on Wednesday night. Brother Adam, I may get in the shop before long and build a shorter pulpit. You know what I'm talking about. Amen. I'm just telling you, beloved, it's amazing to me. Hear these youngins sing. Hear them quote the scripture. Amen. You know what brings them together? The truth. You know what will keep us together? The truth. Amen. You know what causes a problem? When somebody can't take the truth. Somebody, you know, you get to preaching against drinking, somebody's drinking. And they don't like it because you're preaching against their sin. You get to preaching against shacking up, and somebody don't like it because somebody in their family is shacking up. You get to preaching against adultery. And you understand what I mean? But I'm going to tell you something right now. Glory, hallelujah. You get somebody who loves the truth, that's had a problem somewhere with drinking, that's had a problem somewhere with lust, and they'll holler amen the loudest. Preach it, brother, preach it, because that's the only thing that's going to help us. It's the truth. The truth of the Word of God. You can be seated. We need to love in the truth. Look at 3 John verse number 8, and I'll move on real quickly. The Bible said in 3 John verse number 8, we therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. You know what you're doing when you're praying for your pastor? You know what you're doing when you're praying for those going out on vacation? You know what you're doing when you're praying for our widows and our shut-ins? You're being a fellow helper to the truth. You see, that's how we help one another. Amen. We pray one for another. We love one another. And beloved, it's all because, let me just say this, not very likely that I'd be standing behind a pulpit at Bible Way Baptist Church if it weren't for Jesus. Dale, our paths would have probably never crossed, brother. We crossed first at Oak Glen, as far as I remember. But probably, if it weren't for Jesus, it's that cross, brother. It's that cross, it's Calvary, amen, that brought us together. It's the truth of the Word of God that brought us together. What a blessing. What a blessing that is. Then the Bible said in 2 John 4, watch this now. I always have a hard time forgetting to say or wanting to say chapter when there's only one. In 2 John 4, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children. There's kind of a progression here. When somebody identifies the truth, sometimes, Brother Brian, they just want to know the truth. I want to know about this song Miss Hannah sang about. What do you mean when the old accuser comes along? It's under the blood. Oh, praise his dear name. I'm not what I used to be. My life has been changed. No longer shackled by sin and shame. It's already gone. Thank God we can sing. And it's the truth. It's under the blood. In 2 John chapter 4, he said, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth. There's a progression. We identify the truth, and then we know the truth. Then the first thing you know, you get to loving one another. Listen, no one had to teach me to love the church. No one had to teach me to love my brothers and sisters in Christ. Brother John, you were talking about Paul this morning. Nobody had to come along and say, now, Paul, you need to love these people that you used to persecute. Oh, no, when the truth moved on the inside of him, oh, he sat down and he wrote book after book after book, many times in prison, many times bleeding, many times beat half to death, but he loved the church. Why? Because there was truth on the inside. We know the truth, and then we love in the truth. You get to loving in the truth, knowing the truth, you're going to want to walk in truth. If there's a progression. 2 John chapter 4 here, he said, walking in truth as we have received a commandment. 3 John verse 4, I said chapter verse 4 again, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Now, listen to me. I'm going to ask you a question. What really brings you joy about your children? What really brings you joy? Brother Brian, would it bring you joy? I mean, if maybe they had this job or this career that bring you and Miss Paula plenty of money. You could retire. Or would it bring you greater joy just to know they walk in truth? Because all that other, if they're not walking in truth. You see, as far as I can tell, at the judgment seat of Christ, there's no dollar signs involved. Nobody's going to go by there and say, I was driving a Mercedes. Somebody else, I was driving a Volkswagen. Somebody else, I was walking. I'm just going to tell you, beloved, the things that we place an emphasis on in this world, the truth doesn't place an emphasis on. John said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. You know what tickles a pastor to death? To watch his people walk in truth. This is not original with me, but I believe it's worth repeating. If we believe right, we'll behave right. See, if we're walking in truth, the Bible talks about our conversation. And a lot of people think about that's just your speech. No, that's your manner of living. That's your way of life. And beloved, when we believe right, we'll behave right. You say, Pastor, what happens when people walk in truth? Let me give you two things real quickly. In 2 John, in verse number 12 here, the Bible said, having many things write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I must come unto you and speak face to face. Watch this now, that our joy may be full. What happens when men and women walk in truth? Number one, there's a fullness of joy. Number two, if you look at verse number 8 in this same chapter, look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Not only is there a fullness of joy here, but there's a fullness at the judgment seat of Christ when we stand before Him. Oh, to hear Him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I believe that many times people make the Christian life too complicated. He said, faithful over a few things, I'll make you ruler over many. Walk in truth. And then this last thing right here, I have a bad problem with this. It just seems to come up from time to time. Look in 3 John chapter number, or you know what chapter? Verse number 3. That tells you a lot about habits, don't it? Amen. 3 John Verse number 3. He said, for I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came. Here's what they did, Brother Chris. They testified of the truth. Glory. Have you ever heard somebody testify, Brother Jason, and it sounded like there's a great old big devil and a little bitty God? Not if you testify of the truth. Yeah, if you testify of the truth, there's a great old big God and a little bitty devil. Amen. I'm telling you, thank God, beloved, for the testimony of God's people of the truth. Look at verse 12. Demetrius, we talked a while ago about Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them. Look at this man. Demetrius hath a good report of all men and of the truth itself. You know what Demetrius had? Brother Mike, he had a good testimony. They said, that man loves the truth. That man loves the Lord. Amen. I'm going to tell you this morning, there's the importance of truth in troublesome times. Turn with me, and I'm finished with this text. Turn with me to Timothy, please. I believe it's 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4. If you do a little bit of study, the second epistles, Brother Chris, I'm sure you learned this in Bible college. The second epistles are dealing with apostasy. When you get to 2 Timothy and 2 Thessalonians and 2 Peter, they're dealing with apostasy. And what apostasy is not ignorance, but you walk up to the truth, and there's the truth, and you turn your back on truth, and you walk away from the truth. By the way, that's going on in this country right now. That's why wrong is right and right is wrong. Up is down and down is up. Does anybody agree with me? Amen. You say, well, there is no absolute truth. I've been preaching it all morning. Oh, yes, there is. There's absolute truth. Let me read a verse or two right here. Paul is getting ready to leave the scene. He's getting ready to die. Timothy's his young preacher. And he says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. He said, Timothy, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. He said, Timothy, I want you to reprove. I want you to rebuke. I want you to exhort. Here comes the love with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Let me plug something in right there. If you ask enough people the same question, Sister Debbie, if you went and asked enough, the one question, and you ask enough people the same question, somebody would give you the answer that you want to hear. If you ask enough people the same question, somebody would give you the answer that you want to hear. That's what the Bible's talking about right here. They're going to heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. In other words, I'm stuck on the doctrine of Calvinism, so I'm going to start asking people, what do you think? Do you think really that God has already decided who is and who ain't? Ask enough people. By the way, you won't have to ask long. And it's sad. You can start asking Baptists a lot of times and they'll tell you. If you don't know what I'm talking about, beloved, you need to find out. Amen. Ask enough people, is hell real? Is it real? Is it literal? Is the devil real? Is he a literal person? Did Jesus Christ, is he really God incarnate? You can ask enough people that question, and somebody will tell you the answer that you're wanting to hear. But you know where we need to get to? Quit asking people. God's already told us the answer to every one of those questions. Amen. Not His will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Watch this now. Watch this, and I'm done with this right here. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust, in other words, what I want to hear, way I want to look at it, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itches here. Watch this, verse 4, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth. You know what we have to do in a time like this? Get ready, Brother Dale. We're getting ready to give an invitation. We come face to face with the truth. Now we can come to the truth. That's not pastor. That's Jesus. You can come to the Word of God, or you can turn away and go away from the truth. That's what the Word of God said right there. We're living in troublesome times. There are many people that are troubled in these troublesome times. But Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, he said, I will come again. You could ask enough people, you think Jesus is really coming back? Somebody will give you the answer you want to hear. But I'm just going to read the book. He's coming. He's coming. One day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. He's coming. Ready or not, he's coming. Have you identified the truth? The next question is, do you know the truth? There is a difference. Are you walking in truth? Are you loving in truth? Are you testifying in truth? If I'm accused of a crime and you know I didn't do it, I was with you, you can go stand before the judge in the best suit. But if you don't open your mouth and tell the judge, it's not going to help me. It's about time. Has anybody seen the corn out here? Is that not amazing? Is that not amazing? If that corn was still laying over here in the church, would it be looking like it out there? Brother Jim, you don't know it. Where's Brother Jim at? I gave Jason some of it and he just throwed it down on the bank. I gave somebody else some of it and they throwed it out on the concrete. Just to illustrate my point. The corn has to be planted. And even then, we can't make it come up. We could pray, and we did. Lord, if it be in your will, Lord, we've done what we could. And I'm telling you, beloved, this world needs to know the truth. And God has chosen to use you and I as vessels to get them the truth. To get them the truth. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for the Word of God. Deal with our hearts. Lord, your people here need you. I pray, God, this morning, you'd speak to their heart. Help them, God, not to turn away from the truth, but to turn to the Master, the Lord Jesus. In thy name we pray. Let's stand together.